That's the only thing I didn't even like to talk about.
Call to order, County Council Executive Committee meeting, April 14th, 4 p.m. Present are council members Gilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Powers, Smiley, Diller, Cartier, and Retta. And my legislative chief, Anthony DeFury, will be taking notes today. Need approval of minutes for the March 24th, 15 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Agenda item number three, R15-079, reappointing Jason Ortiz to the Newcastle County Department of Community Service Board. I think that's Mr. Bell's candidate. He's being reappointed.
He's a good guy.
He doesn't live far from me.
Jesus.
He's not required to be here today.
No, he's just getting reappointed.
Getting reappointed.
Yeah.
Are there any objections to this candidate? Okay, he's on the agenda tonight, so we'll deal with that tonight. Agenda item four, R15-078, recognizing sister city agreement between Newcastle County, Delaware, United States, and Cutahaw City, etc. Province, People's Republic of China.
What's your name?
I'll have to work on it. Out of respect, I don't want to mispronounce it. But it's a big province in China. This particular resolution, council recognizes and supports the sister city agreement executed on November 12, 2014 between Newcastle County and Cutahaw City in an event to achieve greater understanding among different areas and nations, culture exchange and educational exchange. Any comments or questions on number four? Basic sister city agreement.
Never been there.
Joining us is Council Member Street. Thank you. Agenda item number five, ordinance 15-015, to amend the rates of pay for unclassified employees of county council. Veto override. Mr. Smiley?
As per title.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. And agenda item number six, I had opportunity to meet the president of the Delaware 87ers, Aaron, and director of corporate partnerships, Brad. They're here today. They are the minor league basketball team for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I wanted to introduce them to this council. Being a basketball fan and a former player myself, I wanted to bring them in and introduce them to the council. A lot of opportunities that if you want to take advantage of, the 87ers would be good for all of us in our county, particularly young people and organizations. Ask Aaron and Brad if they would have a seat down here and just introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Hi. Thank you very much. I don't know if so many people.
Sorry. He's up there.
All right. Push it up. Wonderful. I'm Aaron Mosier, president of the Delaware 87ers. As it mentioned, appreciate the opportunity and chance to tell you a little bit about our organization if you aren't familiar with that as well. And we've got Mr. Brad Riddle here with me as well as our director of corporate partnerships. We've got a little presentation we'll kind of walk through. I'll try to keep it brief, respect for you guys' time, but we also have hard copies that we'll kind of pass out so you guys could follow along and read at your leisure as well. But by show of hands, how many people are familiar with the Delaware 87ers? For the most part, we've got about half it. And from those, any that have attended a game in our two seasons? All right, wonderful. Good. So a quick overview of, would it be easier if I step up to run this kind of presentation, kind of run through?
If you just give me a signal.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and we'll run through. That'd be perfect. So a quick little background, just kind of an overview. I'll kind of run you guys through, take about 10 minutes of your time, a little walkthrough of what's going on. So go ahead to the next slide. give a little bit of an overview. The Development League itself, so we're part of the NBA's family. So the NBA 14 years ago started a minor league system similar to what minor league baseball has had for 100 and some years. The NBA has never really had its own system, so they started the NBA Development League, D-League for short. Comprised of 18 teams this past year, and in a short amount of time, about one-third of the players at the NBA level have D-League experience. Next slide, please. This gives you a little overview of the 18 teams across the country. There's a Western Division and an Eastern Division, and gives you a little bit of a scope from Los Angeles, California, all the way to Portland, Maine, makes up our team base that you'll see here. And the next slide, as you'll see here, gives you a little bit of an overview of the affiliations. So there are 8 teams that are in the league that are owned by their NBA property and their parent club. Similar to us, we're owned by the 76ers. And, you know, as you see through here, the Spurs, the Cavs, the Lakers, the Knicks, a lot of your more prominent teams utilize the Development League as a system. And then the hybrid affiliations, which is similar to a minor league baseball model where you have an independent ownership group that has a one-to-one contract with an NBA property to provide all of their players. And then you have one independent team that becomes kind of the catch-all for the remaining 12 teams throughout the NBA. The goal from this league is hopefully within the next 10 years, if not maybe even closer to the next 5 years, to have 30 Development League teams to 30 NBA teams. Go ahead to the next slide. This gives a little bit of a timeline of everything. I'll let you guys look at that at your leisure, and we'll kind of move on to the next. So who the 87ers are. We play our games at the Bob Carpenter Center in Newark, Delaware, at the University of Delaware. And our focus, just as you would find with a minor league baseball, is very family-oriented. Most of our fans, I'd say probably 90% of our fans, don't really care whether or not we win or lose, which is fortunate. We've lost more games than we've won over our 2 seasons. But it's very much tied into youth organizations, youth groups, just having a fun night out during the winter months. I'll kind of walk you through a little bit, go into the next one. This gives you a little bit of an overview of where our fans are coming from. Obviously, Newcastle County is the core of our fan base. You know, our offices are here in Wilmington. We play our games at the University of Delaware. But you see most of our fan base is coming from Bear in through it. You'll see it probably much easier on your personal handouts and such. You know, probably Middletown is the most southern part, obviously, of being outside of kind of that scope. I'll go ahead to the next slide. So as you see from this past year, some of the highlights we'll kind of chat about. So we brought a little over 51,000 fans through our 24 games, averaged a little over 21 or about almost 2150 a night. You know, and had which is a 33% increase from our first season. We're very community focused with our organization. So not only our staff, which we'll talk a little bit about, but also our players being out into the community. Over this past 12 months, we've dedicated and we've instituted almost 1,600 community hours of service through the area. And then also through a lot of nonprofit organizations in which we work with, generated a little over $25,000 in monies back to these nonprofit organizations. Go ahead to the next slide. So as we'll kind of go through the next little piece here. This talks a little bit, give you a perspective, and there's some more details in this slide, in this handout as well, giving you some opportunities in which maybe you guys have some influence or opportunities to get involved in how we can help continue to grow Newcastle County and continue to be stewards of this community. So as we chat a little bit about some of our nonprofit nights, we've got a great opportunity with our uniform and our team where we can do a customized jersey for that evening. And I think this evening right here is a United Way jersey that our mascot Caesar is wearing, part of a partnership that we had with United Way and their I Am 40 movement. We did a military appreciation night in conjunction with Delaware National Guard, the Be Positive Foundation that many of you are probably aware of, and Preston's March, just to name a few. We worked with Girls on the Run. What else am I missing, Brad?
We do like a ladies' night, you know, yep, which is a little different than some of the models you've seen up here. But, you know, as Aaron said, this is a great way for us to reach the youth of the community and give back, not only monetarily, but also through experiences that a lot of, you know, children wouldn't otherwise have.
Yeah, so it's a great awareness campaign and an opportunity for many small organizations to have a voice in that captive audience of, you know, 2,100 to 3,000 people inside the arena. So season tickets, we, as we talked a little bit about our growth and just overall of tickets, of opportunity for engagement inside of our games. So there's a great number of opportunities with organizations and individuals to have season tickets, utilize that on a personal basis, employee incentive, utilizing it also for entertainment, hospitality opportunities, or something close to home. I know a lot of organizations and businesses in this marketplace go up north to Philadelphia to do a lot of their entertaining. This is a great opportunity to do that here close to home with a lot of unique experiences that we have, even with corporate outings and opportunities, focusing really upon experiences that we can create, the creating memorable moments at our games. So that's really something that's an important focus for us, whether you have season tickets or a group outing, becoming part of the experience that is the game. So we allow a lot of our fans to get down onto the court during the game. So whether that's doing a high-five tunnel when the team is being introduced, to singing the national anthem, doing a performance at halftime, there's a lot of opportunities for organizations and groups to get on board. So whether that's a youth sports team, could be a church group, could be a school itself coming out there, a lot of opportunities to get involved. Go ahead to the next slide, please. So give you a little bit of kind of an overview of some of our partnerships. There's a lot of opportunities to be able to engage with our fan base and engage with our groups. So we got a lot of customized opportunities that Brad can walk you through. An opportunity, and this gives you a little perspective of some of the businesses that then engage with us, from smaller groups to the Hagley Museum and American Spirit, to some of your larger organizations with Raybould and Discover and Delmarva Power, just to name a few. Go ahead, sir. As we talked a little bit about our community service, this is something that we really pride ourselves upon, of being out into the community. I talked a little bit about the 1,600 hours that we did. Every one of our staff members pledges 87 hours of community service. So our staff members are getting out into the community and working hand in hand with the organizations in throughout the state, and Newcastle County obviously being the focus of much of what we do. So if there's opportunities that we can work with you and organizations that are important to you and into your districts, you know, that's something that's important to us as well. So that's just kind of a quick overview of who the 87ers are. There's contact information in there, my card's in there, plus also some information about you know, opportunities to engage, whether that be with tickets and other things that are inside your personal handout. So appreciate the opportunity and the forum to just tell a little bit about who we are and what we're doing here in the community. We're really proud and honored to be a part of this community and be here in Delaware, and it's been exciting through two quick seasons to continue to grow this property.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Appreciate the presentation. Yeah. Council, do you have any comments or questions? Councilmember Dillon.
I'd just like to say, particularly my husband and daughter have been to a number of the 87ers games and have really had a great time. So
you
have a nice family-oriented product that I think people are pleased to be involved in.
Wonderful. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. Well, Street.
There's one particular community center in my council manager district that I would like to see involved. I happen to run it. And since it is in my council district, I don't want folks to accuse me of mixing apples with oranges. And, you know, I'm somebody who couldn't play basketball at all, so I don't like basketball, but my kids love it. More importantly, it's at the university, and I would like to see the university develop a partnership with you, other community organizations, to give kids exposure to the university setting itself. And if you look at the last situation with the basketball coach, one of the things that I think was absent, you know, I supported the coach in his situation, but there was a point in time when there were summer programs at the University of Delaware directed specifically at City Children, which were abolished. And I haven't talked to the current president, wait for the new president to come in, but I think some of those things need to be revitalized. And I think you'd be a very, very helpful partner in reestablishing and revitalizing some of those programs that were, in my opinion, a win-win. It's a win for kids, it's a win for the community, and it's a win for the university. So I think that your presence there could be an asset to that. I hope it's something to begin to look at collectively in partnership with the university, since you are here.
Yeah.
No, I think you hit on a great aspect, and I think that's why the university likes having us there, is we bring a different fan base and exposure to the university than is different than going to a women's or men's UD basketball game. So I think we love the opportunity to engage and would love to learn more about your facility and how maybe we can potentially work together and getting our athletes. You know, that's the great thing about our athletes is their stories and what, you know, the United Way partnership and the IM40 movement, if you're not too familiar, is assets over deficits. And, you know, our athletes, they come from varied backgrounds, and their stories resonate with these young kids. And sometimes if we can make one change, you know, with somebody who's borderline and a story of somebody else's challenges and how they were able to overcome them can resonate with a young student, it's music to our ears, and so a great opportunity where we can get our athletes involved.
I think that anytime you take a kid and expose that kid to a campus, institution of higher learning, you never know when and how it's going to touch that kid. And I've seen, just to go to a basketball game, go to a football game, give individual children individual kind of incentives. And from the university's end, you know, I looked at and participated in trying to keep the coach. By the same token, disappointed, bragged about winning and bragged about his players, most of which are not from Delaware. You know, it's Delaware Institution, General Assembly provides a lot of money, and I just think we need to do a better job with our own kids. So any help you could give, any ideas you have, would be greatly appreciated.
I recognize Council Members Weiner and Hollins have joined us, and Bell. Personally attest to their professionalism and quality programming. I work with them through our church. Our kids are excited, and they go the extra mile. I wanted to bring them to the council so we could speak with them, meet with them, and take advantage of opportunities, as Councilman Street intends to do. Anything else for Councilman Street?
I'm just going.
Go ahead.
My youth service guide almost compelled me to let us have our own basketball league. We don't have a half-size gym, but I'm looking forward to the kids, especially the 5 to 7 year old league, come down there and get a good head start. So
you want to challenge them to a 2-on-2, man?
Thank you, Mr. Boyle, for helping out. Anything else? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are your information in the packet?
Yes, yes, all the information is in there.
Contact information.
Yes, contact information.
All right, we'll be talking. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anything on the other?
Thank you.
Councilman Smythe.
Yeah. I have several items that will be introduced to council tonight. I don't want council members to be surprised. Just got the fiscal notes on them. And to start with, let's be clear, I think everyone around this table knows, I don't bring legislation for political reasons, for personal gain, or just for the sake of bringing it. I bring them because I think they're needed. The one I know this is, I'd say it's premature, but it's not, because I just got the fiscal notes. Nothing out of line with the amount of money, if anyone heard me the other day, but 15-043 is the reassessment. I've been fielding calls all weekend, during the week, and I expect to field them up to and through, as well as emails. As we're all well aware, reassessment is revenue neutral. You're not allowed to inflate the coffers, you adjust the tax rate accordingly as needs to be. We also all know that we have a right to recover the cost, whatever that end cost may be, and that can be done all at once, it can be done incrementally, or we can decide to pay for it out of reserves. That's not included in this ordinance. However, once again, a new thing for the first time in 11 years, my being here, I want to read you the fiscal note, because when it goes out on the website, you will be getting calls. The fiscal note reads, Based on the 2015 tax certification, there are 208,939 tax parcels located within all of Newcastle County. The estimated cost to reassess Newcastle County will be approximately $15 million. My comment was between 15 and 20. However, it goes on to state, which equates to an estimated 14% tax increase, which kind of sends a message to the people erroneously that they're going to get a 14% tax increase if this passes. So I just make you aware of that now, because it will be introduced tonight. It'll go on the website. You all know the truth, you know the facts, you know what can happen. This does not implement a 14% tax increase. But I thought you should know, because you may not read the whole thing tonight, because it's just going to be read into the record and it will just be the title. So just thought you should know.
It does not represent a 14.
No, sorry, it doesn't represent a tax increase at all. At the end of the day, council, county executive determines what, if anything, needs to be done, how to pay for it. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been hearing how we need to spend down the reserves. And I'm looking to help that, because that's taxpayer dollars at all, also. And those dollars, if spent on this, would definitely benefit Newcastle County residents and businesses only. So, but I do agree it should be statewide, but in 10 years I haven't been able to get anybody to partner on that. But I just thought you should know what that fiscal note is, because you're liable. Like I said, it'll be read in tonight. It'll go on the website. You need to be aware of it. I didn't want you to get sandbagged tomorrow.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Just so that there's a very clear understanding, considering that the press is here, if we now pay 70 cents per thousand on our house at the estimate that it is now, if that estimate, that assessed estimate, doubles, that 70 cents goes down to 35 cents. Yeah. So there is your revenue neutral, zero increase.
Councilmember Bell.
Yeah, could you explain that in a little bit more detail as far as, is that across the board, countywide, every
yes.
type of home?
Yes.
And everything.
Yes.
So actually,
because some of the houses are going to go down. Some of them, you know, may go down. They may be in worse shape than they were when, and I'm, you know, this is not an endorsement of assessment or not, but
right.
I think it's something that everybody is very, very confused
but
about.
But are some going to go up?
Some are, about a third will go up, about a third will go down, and about a third will stay the same. But your tax rate per thousand of assessment changes. So
yeah.
it ends up being revenue neutral, not just in how many went up and how many went down, but to yourself. So if your house is assessed at $100,000, you're now paying 70 cents per thousand on that $100,000. If the new assessment would be $200,000, you will be paying 35 cents per thousand on that $200,000. So you are revenue neutral.
Councilmember Street, Weiner, and Cartier.
Oh.
And Bell.
Should just being introduced.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a fiscal note out.
Pat. Councilmember Weiner.
Yes. This is a subject which I recall then County Council President Phil Cloutier talking about quite some time ago. And his thought was to couple it with a rolling reassessment once the bullet was bitten. And I just throw that out to the sponsor for his consideration.
And I know history is, it was introduced years ago and didn't make it with it, but we will see what happens. I mean, right now, everybody and their brother, as you can see from this fiscal note, is in a misinformation mode. So to add to that, I think, and get this done, or if it passes, it gets going, we can always add to it.
Okay, and I,
Councilman.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that
had that been done years ago, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Right. Yes. That the rolling reassessment, and I just throw this out from my dear friend Phil Cloutier, said once you bite the bullet, then you just want to set an automatic process underway. What a lot of jurisdictions do, I know this from NACO, is they'll take, you know, 25% or a third of their county, and then that part will undergo reassessment, and it'll be a rolling basis all the time, so there's always a reassessment, and there's not these big adjustments.
If we can have an exchange, I actually had a very good conversation with a lady who mistook us. She lives in Newcastle County, but she thought we were like Merlin. Every time a property changes hands down there, it gets reassessed.
Right.
So, you know, there were various things. No, I agree. I think that's something that, if this passes, I think that's something we can tie and do. But there's going to be enough to deal with just with this without adding that to the legislation to be misconstrued. But there's plenty of time to addend it.
Councilmember Cartier.
It's a little bit of personal history and nostalgia. I was a data collector in the reassessment in 1983. It's 32 years ago when this
county, you fixed it.
When the county, it was the first job I had out of university, out there collecting data in all the neighborhoods. And I think my perspective is, you know, we've survived as a county, now that I've been here 10 years, really, because we have the transfer tax revenue that really helps us out tremendously. And I think over 32 years, I think we've had a lot of distortions creep into the system. Because you have to understand, new construction that arrives, you know, they have to somehow arbitrarily, it's got to be a very arbitrary process, pick a 1983 assessed value for the new product that has just been built. I think, you know, it seems like a lot of the really older homes have a, you know, low assessment, newer homes may be overly high. I know that there's been some concern that condominiums are assessed at a far higher rate than they should be. I think over the years, there's been, you know, creep, and it's a matter of fairness, but it's a topic and an issue we should approach with some deliberation, and there is a cost associated with it. I think when they did it back in the early 80s, it was probably something like $8 to $10 million the county spent on that, and I think technology has gone forward quite a bit. I'd be interested to see, you know, what kind of imaging technology that's out there that would probably enable us to do this without going to that expense. But we'll see how that unfolds. But I remember collecting data on farms, houses, you know, the gamut. And it's very laborious the way it was done back then, and I think there was a lot of issues with that reassessment. And over 32 years, you know, some of the fairness issues become really important in this.
Councilmember Bell and Councilmember Smart.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just for the record, when this article came out in the paper, I received numerous phone calls from constituents, and I don't know about the other members of council, and some emails, and folks adamantly opposed, and some explained themselves as to why they would be. And, you know, we talk about deliberations and everything. I hope that we'll take into consideration not only our constituency, but also the fact of the economic state today, as well as trying to revitalize economic development, and also communities that have been built even while we've been going through this economic hard times for our seniors. We have to take a look at everything. And at the end of the day, I'm going to represent the will of the people that I represent. And like I say, I am concerned, and I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I hope someone will shed more answers as we go along. But I can tell you that the impact that it could have from some of the folks explaining their thoughts on it are much greater than maybe what's been discussed.
Again, we're just reading it to the record tonight.
I apologize. I appreciate everyone's. At least people are ready to engage.
All right.
So I look forward to that. And Councilman Bell, just for the record, in case you didn't see it, that's the reason, as a courtesy to all of council, I didn't want anyone caught off guard. I sent an email in advance to all of council before it was, the agenda was published or anything else, you know, as I was out of town, because I felt that was the fair thing to do, because I knew this would be a hot potato. And I will tell you, I've had several phone calls, as I said, and emails. Quite honestly, until I got done the conversation, most of them did not understand what it was and what it does. So if you take the time to talk to them, that's all. But each council member, like I said, will do their own thing. As for the cost, hey, as I mentioned to a reporter the other day, if I can get the state legislature to quickly enact a change in the state law as to how it has to be done, apparently there's quite a few people out there with the psychic ability to give us the answer, so we can just recognize that and move on with it. So that's all.
Again, thank you, Councilman Smiley. You ran the record tonight, and we'll have a chance to workshop it at a later time and vote up and down at the appropriate meeting.
That's all. But at least there will be discussion after 30 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smiley. I have one other thing under other as a friendly reminder to this August body that our 2014 Statement of Financial Interests is due by May 1. Just to remind us from the Ethics Commission, so we can govern ourselves decent and in order. Anything else under other? Yes.
Sorry,
Human Resources.
I actually asked a question with assessment and everything. I was surprised when people do refinancing that that's not added in there, because there's a lot of times when people are trying to get lower interest rates and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought banks would do that, but I guess not.
Thank you for your comment. Anything else on the other? Any public comment? Anything for the public today?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.